Hey, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. My name is Mike Bush. I'll be your host for this episode. So a couple weeks ago, we had Abe Eshkenazi, the CEO of the ASCM, Association of Supply Chain Managers, join the show and talk about what to expect at his upcoming conference. So this is part two of that, and we're actually going to be on site at the conference, walking around, talking to people. They actually let me moderate a panel, which is pretty crazy, and I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks so much for watching. So Kareem Kafuri, you're my first repeat guest on Hammer Down. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, too. Hey, appreciate it.
So ASCM happening.
Yes.
What's been the turnout so far? What are you excited about?
I mean, it's great. It's Austin, Texas. I mean, first of all, it's wonderful to be out here. You have so much innovation, unique ideas. People, they're getting together to talk about best practices and what's going to be happening in the future of supply chain. So you really want to be at an event like this because it gets your ear to the ground of what's new and what's coming.
Sure. How's the book being received?
It's going really, really well. Supply chain ups and downs. We talked about it a little bit together. The idea behind this book, more than anything else, is to just give a very holistic A to C perspective of the entire supply chain. You have a lot of students that are here. Actually, our neighbor next door is from Michigan State. They run a lot of graduate programs and undergraduate programs. You've got business people that don't know a lot about supply chain. And then you've got even those that are in supply chain that have a bit of a siloed view and are looking for a more expansive view. So the table's been busy. People have been coming around, and it's been really good so far.
What's been the most exciting thing you've seen or the coolest thing you've seen? And you can't say the puppies.
What did I see that was really, really neat? I get a little nerdy about some of like the risk mitigation stuff. Moody's is over here, which is kind of cool. I like a company like that. What's a little strange to me, but I think kind of an innovative thing is that a lot of the speakers are using those like headsets.
Oh yeah.
So it's like you walk by it and it's really, really quiet, but I guess it's really good to kind of transmit the information that way. And I like that level of technology. It's kind of cool like that.
I get you. Did you catch Arianna Huffington?
I stopped by, we've been running things here at the table, which has been a little bit busy, but generally speaking, I mean, I heard she was great. Did you get a chance?
I thought she was a really interesting choice.
Yes.
Not from a supply chain background, but she went up and she hit home on a lot of quality of life things.
Right? Yes.
Like we work 24/7. We all know we wake up, we're attached to our phone. She did a really great job of kind of saying, hey, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to sharpen the axe and you're going to be more effective in doing that.
And you know what I think is really interesting? I had one gentleman who came around here to the table. We'd sort of talking and so on. He goes, you know what the supply chain needs? A lot of people that are not from the supply chain. And I said, okay. I said, why don't you tell me a little bit more about that? And he said, well, he's like, we just need perspectives. He's like, we need to have a bigger vision than what we've known in order to know how we can improve and grow and develop. So I thought that was pretty cool. Coming to ASCM, you may not see as many people that are not from supply chain.
Right, of course.
But at the same time, too, I thought it was interesting.
So. Yeah, it's funny. My buddy Reed Lasla, who does the Please Advise hats, you've probably seen all over the internet.
Yeah.
He's got this theory that supply chain people are only friends with supply chain people because we're the only ones that know what the hell we're talking about.
Yes, correct.
And
correct.
It's so funny to me. Like, in thinking about it, I love the perspective of it.
Yeah, I mean, it can get a little bit insular. And that's also, one of the reasons why I wrote this, because I wanted it to be, it's not necessarily layman's terms, but it's something that is an easy read. People can really just kind of get a good sense of it. And why not? I mean, supply chain impacts so many things of what we do every single day. You're walking around and you don't know why there aren't goods on the shelves at Walmart or one of your favorite stores. You want to know why food prices are skyrocketing or whatever may be happening in our just day-to-day lives. It's supply chain. So, to have a really kind of easy take on that, whether it's in a book or what you read or what you're looking at online, I think it's super important today.
All right, so tell me a little bit about Kinaxis.
Absolutely. So Kinaxis is a cloud-based platform that is essentially designed for supply chain planning and supply chain execution. And so when you put those two schools of thought together, we call it supply chain orchestration. We've been in the industry for a little over 40 years, underpinned by AI and ML for the past 10 to 15 or so, a little over 50 plus patents in the space. But essentially what we go after is bringing visibility to the enterprise along multiple kind of facets of the business, whether it's demand, supply, inventory, or all the way through transportation and order management. So when customers are trying to figure out different problems and understand ways to solve, we use a patented technique called concurrency to essentially create scenarios and do what-if analysis for you to solve for different constraints within your supply chain.
Okay, so when you talk about concurrency, and you're basically running simulations as to when something could go wrong, is that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Do you want to take that one?
Yeah, so when we talk about concurrency, it's really a methodology. So we're able to run things in real time, and it's kind of like a brain. So you're able to run things in real time, and then when a risk does pop up, our software actually will alert the user that there may be an issue. Or an issue to plan for, and then we're able to create a complete digital twin of our supply chain and then run multiple scenarios to really make the best ROI decisions on every aspect of your supply chain and the health of the company.
Absolutely, and what the whole point of the scenario analysis, right, is as you work in these different sandboxes and understand the different drivers to your business, you can then see the scorecarding at the end. And so you see, okay, my margin was impacted by this in scenario A, baseline versus this new scenario where we picked up a new customer, right? And so being able to kind of forward plan and use that that sandbox to plan for different situations makes the kind of resilience much more achievable than it is today with spreadsheets and kind of outdated architecture.
Give me a specific example. I mean, we're talking about scenarios, right? Yeah. Like things that could go wrong. Can you give me a more granular kind of, here's a scenario type of thing that we would help with?
Absolutely. So I'd say one specific, let's say you're a high-tech manufacturer that's bringing in wafers from overseas, right? And then all of a sudden you're planning, everything looks good, and then boom, disruption, right? There's a strike, right? Or there's something going on with the Taiwan, PAC legal agreements, things like that. So you can start to model, A, this lane was disrupted, this plant was shut down. So you can go into the system, live software, and say, okay, this is my required quantity is still 1,000, but output is at zero. And so once you're able to model that, it says, okay, your new available dates are this, and then we actually have some series of pre-built playbooks. So you can do an alternate source, you can do third shift, you can do different plays to understand what the most optimal outcome is from that.
What I haven't asked that I should have?
What are the main benefits of what we do? I think really, so why I got into supply chain technology is I'm very much, so I fell into technology. I fell into supply chain space as well. I do have family in supply chain, but also I was in multifacets of the supply chain before I landed in the holistic. But my really passion for the software is really to be able to see fully, transparently, everything, the health of the company. So it's almost like as a parent, I want to see that my child is doing well, but also, you know, as business contributors and whatnot, we want to know that our contributions are sound. And really, technology of this nature allows us to see that intangible results. So.
All right, so the final question I ask every guest is, if you're talking to your younger self or maybe a newer recent college grad, what's the piece of advice you'd give them?
I say start early, start now. Put down the beer and get to work.
One thing I really encourage, especially even younger people to do, it's a lot of now our culture is about the end result and not understanding where it came from and how it's getting there and how many steps and facets that there are in supply chain. So it's not a limited field. There are so many things that you can do within supply chain and explore, specialize in, that it's a really neat world.
Matthew, tell me about Apex Analytics.
So Apex Analytics has been in business for 35 years.
Okay.
So it started in accounts payable recovery audit space, and no one at the show knows what that is. Or maybe you do.
So I want to guess. So what was it, the exact phrase?
Accounts payable recovery audit.
Okay, accounts payable recovery audit. So that means, I'm guessing, AP has paid people that they shouldn't have paid, and they're trying to get their money back.
Very, very close. They paid the right people. They just paid them too many times or too much. And we do that. We're actually the largest provider of that for commercial accounts payable recovery audits in the world. We have at any given moment 200 audits going on, and we find millions and millions of dollars for our clients. All very large enterprise clients with lots of spend. And so these small errors add up to millions.
Sure.
And about 10 years ago, one of our clients is a large media company. They said, we have trouble onboarding and managing our suppliers and the compliance required for those suppliers, because there's suppliers across the globe. And we built Apex Portal to remove all the email exchanges between the vendor management team to get the required documents. And we took all those compliance requirements and put them into an online portal that suppliers can fill out their information, and we validate their data like tax ID, diversity status, bank account information, because we've integrated with 1,000 data sources. So what this does is it allows you to collect as much information they need on suppliers and keep it accurate, so then you can identify any risk in your channels and then really protect your company.
Okay, now this is going to be a bit of an odd question for you, because freight fraud has become like a multi-billion dollar industry. Are you guys living in that? Are you helping to eliminate freight fraud, or are you looking at solely kind of human error or machine error in terms of what you're providing customers?
So I'm not too familiar with freight fraud. So the fraud that we typically help prevent against, which is a driving reason why people choose to go to the Apex Portal, is really payment fraud or business email compromise. So hackers are impersonating suppliers, creating fake supplier accounts, and then submitting invoices. And so we have a layers of protection approach to preventing that. One is just removing the emails. You have a supplier going into a portal, you're tracking the IP address, password protected, you can have passwordless. And then, you know, steps within the portal to make sure there's control, security questions. You gotta include the previous bank account information to update it. And all these steps, we also include bank account ownership validation in multiple different countries. So you're actually connecting with the bank and then validating that the legal entity in your vendor master is the legal entity in the bank. So that's the fraud that we prevent.
Okay.
And, you know, fraud event can easily be $1 million or $10 million. These are the stories I regularly hear in off the, you know, not public conversations.
Of course.
And so we drive a lot of value in really protecting companies, but then removing a ton of efficiencies, inefficiencies of managing suppliers.
Okay, gotcha. So basically, if I'm in the AP space, I should be talking to you guys to make sure that, one, the stuff I'm paying is what it should be paid.
Correct.
Two, it's paid on time, accurately, and to a real person.
Yes.
So you're not going to necessarily get an email from... You guys are going to validate whether the Prince of Nigeria exists. Is that the way to think of it?
They don't exist.
They don't?
Yes, but yes, we will validate that. And all of our clients are large, and it's all global. So it's hard to validate in real time if you're doing it manually, and that's where you have to automate it.
Okay, awesome. Matthew, what haven't I asked you that I should have?
I don't know.
That's okay. No worries.
Oh, wait. Okay. I spoke earlier today. You can ask me, what did I speak about?
What did you talk about today?
So today I wanted to talk a little bit about data from clients. And we have 1,000 data sources, and some of them are, you know, OFAC or sanctions list. And so I actually looked at clients and data, and it really said, no matter your size, whether it's 6,000 or 64,000 is the data I presented, you're going to have a, you know, 0.1 or 0.5% of companies coming on the sanctions list. So do you know that is happening? And this is just one data point that that can help protect your company, because I looked at OFAC fines for 2023, and there were 17 fines allotted, and it totaled $1.5 billion. So if you are working with a company that's on a sanction list and you don't know about it because some subsidiary or a company that you just acquired was doing it, you have to voluntarily disclose that to OFAC, and you could be fined significantly. So it's happening in every company, whether you're 6,000 or 60,000 suppliers, and it's insanely impossible to track it.
Got it. Matthew, one of my favorite questions asked, I guess, is if you're talking to a new or recent college grad who says, I'm thinking about supply chain, What's the piece of advice you give them?
So go talk to people who are in the job right now. Go talk to a supply chain manager. You come to a show. I go to a lot of different shows, and there's always students here and there. It's important to go talk to people to understand what the role is, but there's different areas. Different industries are going to require different things. So I highly recommend finding people that you can talk to and get advice and help you clear that path to that role. One thing I would say that I didn't know within the supply chain space, you're really, making change. Because if you're a big company and you implement certain requirements that are going to make sure there's no child labor, or it's going to create less carbon, these things can have a great impact and long lasting. So it can be a really interesting point today in supply chain. And it's only more this focus right now because of COVID. It's an interesting space to be. Go find mentors, and you can make change in large companies.
Awesome. Appreciate you. What does Traba do?
So Traba is essentially a modernized version of a staffing agency matching light industrial companies with labor.
Okay, got it. So am I thinking this through the right way, that if I run a warehouse, I've got seasonal needs for staff, I approach you guys in order to staff up, or is it something beyond that?
So it's everything on the spectrum, from kind of last minute contingent labor all the way through to more long-term staffing up for either longer seasons or preparing your full-time staff.
Okay. Why go through you guys and not a recruiter?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Or hire a recruiter.
Yeah, so it really comes down to the ability to match the right worker with the role.
Okay.
So from us being able to not only onboard a different pool of people, onboard a wider pool of people through different sources of recruiting, but it's also tracking all the data after associates start working.
Okay.
So it's really building up a real world performance resume, creating a true meritocracy in contingent labor, which really hasn't existed before.
Got it. Okay.
To match the people to the role.
So presumably, like, if I think about you guys, you probably have two types of competitors realistically, right? Like, there's the recruiting firms.
Yep.
But there's also kind of the nearshoring, right? Like, where do you run into folks like Lean Solutions Group, or run into the folks that are kind of saying, hey, look, we can get you outsourced labor for less?
It's one of those things that, since we only focus on light industrial labor, it's more kind of going head to head with the traditional staffing agency approach.
Okay.
Really all the distribution, fulfillment, manufacturing that's currently onshore.
Okay. How did you end up here? What got you into this field?
Yeah. So I was in high level management consulting, focused specifically on industrials when I started my career.
Okay.
And spent a year consulting for a large packaging manufacturer. And when we were interviewing their customers, think Amazon, HelloFresh, Spirit Halloween, about the future of tape and packaging, the conversations always came back to challenges with labor.
Got it.
And so when I was thinking about making a switch, thinking about kind of building from a true needle moving company, came across Traba, it was an immediate light bulb that, like, yes, this is a true product market fit.
Okay, very cool. Well, if I think about the kind of like the coolest things you've accomplished, or what are the things, and I think I know where you're going with this, because I've seen that smile.
Yeah.
What are the things that get you excited about going to a job? What are kind of the coolest things you've accomplished there?
Yeah, I've been so amazed by the real world impact. I mean, honestly, the bar for contingent staffing, traditional temporary labor agencies, is absolutely on the floor.
Yeah.
And so to have kind of that, see that mistrust, go in, share how we're different, and then see it work in real time, and really, again, increase that productivity, decrease costs, and provide real career opportunities for entry-level associates, like all those coming together, it really excites me every day.
Speaking of entry-level associates, so let's say you run into a kid who's just graduated college, says, I want to go work in the supply chain.
Yep.
What's a piece of advice you give them?
Just jump in. On the surface, it could seem like a non-sexy industry, right? Like, it's one of those things that it doesn't have all the public bells and whistles. But when you get in under the hood, it is honestly everything that drives not only the country, but the world, and the real world impact you have is absolutely incredible. The problem solving and the challenges you deal with is absolutely incredible and impactful. And so being able to really jump in and do that.
So I know Danny told you that we were going to do this.
Yep.
Is there any talking point you were like, man, I got to make sure I hit on this, and I haven't given a chance yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think in this industry, people get very caught in their ways. they're happy with a long-lasting relationship, right? Or if they have the mentality, if something's not broken, don't fix it.
Sure.
Rather than thinking about how we can really raise the bar, increase productivity, think about new ways to incentivize or recruit new types of talent, and even just thinking about kind of bringing the younger generation into supply chain, you need to think about things like gamification. Think about non-traditional incentives, especially at the entry-level labor point. Things like daily pay, consistency bonuses, on-time arrival bonuses can make a world of difference, even if it ends up being the same cost versus kind of that annual bonus. So thinking about how to approach it in a way that the new generation gets excited about and then wants to start their career from the bottom in supply chain.
Very cool. Awesome. Cool, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Arthur, what company are you with?
I run Vendigium Data Consulting. Okay. Me and my partner, we started this company around 7 years ago.
Okay. And what do you do?
Well, we help companies make the most out of their data. We're specialized in enterprise analytics tailored to supply chain problems.
Okay. So one of the third biggest supply chain trend of 2024, according to ASCM, is going to be big data. Why?
Yes.
Why is everybody thinking about this?
Well, I think nowadays there's more access to data across the entire supply chain. It's not only companies having more internal data that they can use to make decisions, it's also third-party data that now can be used to enhance their decision-making, their decision process, forecasting models, and a bunch of other things that can help with their decision intelligence.
So when you're talking decision intelligence and you know, layering in other data, there's lots of different ways that can work, right? That can be, we're layering in weather data to understand that there's going to be a particularly stormy season on the East Coast type of thing. So we'll have our vessels avoid that. There's also, you know, far more, I guess, granular prescriptive type of things. Where do you live in that world?
So what we do there tends to be around like demand sensing.
Okay.
So when it comes to third-party data, there's a lot of more data points around zip code level data or even like county level data that you can use to enhance your forecast and enhance your decision making so that you can have the right inventory flowing in as things are evolving. So you can manage your inventory in a way that makes more sense. So whenever demand is going down in one zip code, but demand is going up in another one, you can react faster because you have visibility on what's happening at the edge.
Got it. Okay. So you're kind of in that inventory planning / optimization space. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Very, very cool. So how did you get into that?
I got into this around 15 years ago. I fell into went into manufacturing, and then I started realizing there was this big thing called supply chain.
Right.
And I wanted to get into humanitarian logistics.
Okay.
So I started pushing my career towards that, learning about supply chain, doing a bunch of online classes, certifications, that sort of thing, until I ended up doing humanitarian logistics. But when I went into humanitarian logistics, I realized what I really liked was data.
Okay, gotcha.
So
co-founded the company, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stopped working for the UN and then started my own company with my founder.
Amazing. Very cool. Yeah. So one of the questions I ask everybody that comes on the show is, if you're talking to a new or recent college grad who says, I'm thinking about supply chain, what's the piece of advice you give them?
I think supply chain poses just like a great challenge to keep on evolving as a person, because you get all the technical problems like technology and math and having to do very hardcore technical solutions, but you also get the people problems. So you get to develop yourself as a person, as a leader. You have to interact with people. So I think poses is a great opportunity to evolve in all areas of life. So I think it's a great field to get into.
Arturo, if people want to find out about your company, find out more, what's the best way to do so?
LinkedIn. That or the website, Vendigium.com.
All right. Arturo Torres, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You make software that helps reduce waste, improve performance, improve resilience in external supply chains, particularly in sort of the manufacturing activities there.
Okay, so when you say software that reduces waste,
yeah,
are we talking physical waste? Are we talking you know, Lean Six Sigma? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's time waste. It's also materials waste. So it could be time for people who are doing planning, managing production, scheduling, managing the capacity of their operations, but it also is material waste as well too. So by improving visibility into inventory, in transit or on hand status, this type of stuff, and tying that back into planning systems, you're better able to make decisions that are more optimal, reduce waste.
So do I have it right? It's a visibility software layered on top of productivity? Is that kind of the way to think about
it? You're pretty close. Yeah, okay. I'm starting high level and then going in. Yeah. There's sort of kind of two main parts of it. One's more on the shop floor, so like in the four walls of a manufacturing environment, managing production inventory, scheduling, this type of stuff. But there's also a component which is multi-enterprise for collaboration, essentially, because we see the problem of making supply chains more efficient being like a multi-enterprise problem. Right. So it's not just about those manufacturers, but also how well they coordinate with their customers or also their own material suppliers. So
we're going beyond Google Sheet, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, purpose-built solution for helping provide that sort of single pane of glass, shared single version of the truth for forecasts, capacity, orders, and all the really the changes along the way. Because I'm sure, as you know, and some of your audience knows, supply chain variability is like the reality now. So as things change all the time, those supply chains, the supply plans change, the demand plans change, and keeping those in sync is actually a lot of work and pretty challenging.
In terms of customer feedback, I'm guessing customers love you, et cetera, et cetera. What has been sort of the coolest or most interesting use case that some customers said, I can't believe you helped us find this, or you helped us eliminate that?
There's been a lot of interest in our capacity collaboration, capacity and forecast collaboration. So basically bringing the forecast for months out potentially into what sort of finished products are they're expecting. Those are changing, and then those gradually progress into, you know, firm orders, but those firm orders are not really that firm. They're actually changing quite a bit, up to weeks or days before. But then synchronizing that up with the capacity across different external manufacturers, which they haven't had good visibility into for ever, kind of, other than phone calls or spreadsheets. So that's been an area of particular interest.
Kevin, how did you get into this?
It's funny. So I'm one of the founders. So like 20 plus years ago, you know, we started the company. I had not sort of dreamed all along of, from like a young boy to be getting into supply chain, but we really liked challenging problems. Sure. and solving things that needed solving hadn't been solved before. We started the company kind of out of the dot-com boom, where there was a lot of, you know, maybe software and websites that really didn't maybe solve a really important problem. And we kind of reacted to that and got very where we thought there was real interesting problems to solve and white space things that needed to be fixed. So, yeah.
If people want to get in touch, how do they do so?
LinkedIn is a great way. Kevin Wong's a pretty common name, but you throw Newlogy, N-U-L-O-G-Y, in there, you'll find me. That's probably the best way these days to reach out. I try to check in there and respond.
All right, so final question I ask every guest.
Yeah.
If you're talking to a newer recent college grad who says, I'm thinking about supply chain, what piece of advice do you give them?
I think, you know, people don't realize it, maybe a little more now than before the pandemic, but it's how the whole world works and how everything gets to your dinner table, into your bathroom before you brush your teeth in the morning or at night. And people take it for granted, but as we've learned more and more over the past few years, when that's not working, the whole world kind of grinds to a stop or prices skyrocket. So you can solve really, you know, important problems and really have a challenge there. And the industry totally needs bright young people who are really willing to shake things up. Maybe break the status quo, bring in new thinking, new technologies, and make things a lot better.
I know your PR team preps you for interviews, and I love that. Is there any question I didn't ask you that they had you prep for, or any talking point you wanted to hit on?
They mentioned what kind of challenges we're facing.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you solving, basically?
Some of the challenges we see, I mean, I think interesting, some of it is around change management and culture change. So, you know, it's hard for people to, you know, change their own businesses, let alone trying to influence change within their external suppliers. So I think one of the things that we really work on is helping customers understand it's really not hard or intimidating. There's like a process to doing this and ways to sort of eat the whale one bite at a time. So we try to help customers understand that and also not sort of have a traditional thinking of seeing that they should have one solution that solves all of their supply chain and maybe procurement problems, but really kind of break it down to be specific about what kind of solutions you need to solve specific use cases, because that's the future of software, not just in supply chain, is more of an ecosystem of solutions that work together really well, and the technology is totally there to be able to do that now. So that's one of the things that we're always trying to advocate for in our business.
Love it. Thanks, man.